ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.
If you're a sports fan, I can imagine you've heard that disclaimer before. The Australian government has announced a raft of gambling reforms that come into effect in January next year. The reforms include restricting gambling advertising on broadcast TV between 6 a.m. and 8:30 p.m., ban it completely during live sport and on radio at school drop-off and pick-up times, and a ban of online ads where it can't be verified that the users are over 18. The government says the aim is to reduce the exposure that children have to gambling companies, but many are calling for more action. Given the amount of income that sports betting brings into the major sporting codes in Australia, finding a balance will need more than just taking a punt. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily. David Pocock is a former Wallaby and is now an independent senator in the ACT who has long been vocal about the need for gambling reform in Australia. David, earlier this month, the government introduced stricter regulations around gambling advertising to limit children's exposure to gambling harm. What kind of harm does gambling do in this country?
Well, per capita, we're the biggest losers in the world. Gambling has been normalised by gambling advertising to the point where 3 out of 4 young Australians now think that gambling and betting on sport is just a normal part of enjoying sport. And this is something that the Parliament has been grappling with for a number of years now.
We're not doing something radical here in Australia. We're playing catch up. What's radical in Australia is that we have the greatest gambling losses of anywhere in the world, 40% higher than the nation that comes second.
What do you do in a society where you have something that can become a real issue for people in our community, so normalised by the gambling industry, and then raking in massive, massive profits? And so the Parliament had an inquiry, and there were 31 recommendations saying this is a public health issue. This is how we can actually turn this around. And one of the central recommendations was to actually have a phased-in ban on all gambling advertising, saying if you just make some tweaks, history shows us that this is an industry that finds loopholes, and so we just need to go with a full gambling ad ban in recognition that no one's saying you can't have a bet, but we've got to stop the normalisation of gambling in our community.
We are getting the balance right, letting adults have a punt if they want to, but making sure that our children don't see betting ads everywhere they look.
You've been on record in saying that these reforms are hugely disappointing. Why is that?
For a number of reasons. The big one being that history shows us that partial bans don't work, and that's why this landmark Murphy report, which was backed by every party in the Parliament and every independent in the Parliament, said a 3-year phased-in ban on all gambling advertising is the only way that we can actually deal with this. The government, when they announced they were going with a partial ban, then sort of delivered the analysis underlying that. And if you actually read the government's own analysis, it shows that a full ban would be cheaper to implement because there's less regulation involved. It's just a blanket ban that comes in over 3 years and would actually provide more benefits to Australians. So we've got a government that has gone for the option that doesn't actually put Australians first. It's an option that the gambling industry will be happy to live with.
Between 6 a.m. and 8:30 p.m., we will cap the number of TV ads for betting agencies at a maximum of 3 per hour. We will ban all gambling ads on radio during school pickup and drop-off.
Beyond that, there are huge issues with things like inducements, you know, where people get bonus bets, free bets. And if you talk to researchers in this space, they are the most harmful part of the whole sort of gambling advertising and the way that they hook people, because we know that it's actually a smaller number of Australians that are losing the most money, and often that is off the back of free bets, bonus bets, where people feel like it's sort of risk-free. And that's where we see a lot of people, particularly young men, getting into a lot of trouble. And the government has just not even gone with that recommendation, and that was the most urgent recommendation that was given 3 years ago. They said that inducements should be banned immediately. Government's not doing that.
So wide sweeping reform would have significant impact on the bottom line of a number of sporting codes and broadcast partners and that sort of thing. If you could pick just one thing to change from these government's reforms, what's the top of the tree for you?
Well, the gambling ads is the big one. It's what's normalising gambling. It's what's setting up young people for failure. And if we're going to turn this around as a country, you have to look at gambling advertising.
We believe that Australians wanted in particular, and the terms of reference of the You Win Some, You Lose Some report, wanted in particular the reduction of exposure of children to gambling advertising. So the reforms that we have landed, and you would have seen Free TV, who is the peak for broadcast television, come out and say this will have a really significant impact to their bottom line. So this has been difficult, and nonetheless, we have made meaningful reform.
Yeah, there is the reality that free-to-air television sports broadcasters are deriving income from this. You know, a couple of our major sports now actually get a kickback, a percentage of each bet placed on, say, NRL, AFL. The report from Peter Murphy and her colleagues actually raised concerns and said, listen, we're losing sight of what sport is actually about in this country. And it's no longer just about the enjoyment, the community, the challenge. It's now just, it's becoming the sort of avenue to market gambling. So I would go there. As to the impacts, you know, we could put a 1.5-2% levy on bets in this country and more than compensate free-to-air television and probably invest a lot more money into things like community sport, grassroots sport than is currently being invested. So, you know, this is just about political will, and you know, yet again, we're seeing vested interests being put ahead of the interests of the Australian people.
Kids are still going to be seeing gambling ads, and that's what Murphy said to stop.
Have you canvassed the Greens and or the Coalition for their support on some of these reforms or what you're proposing?
Working on it. I'm concerned that the Coalition will wave these through. I think that's really disappointing, given what I hear from a lot of people in the Coalition is the talk of family values and focusing on the family. And you know, I don't see what is more squarely about family values than actually protecting young people from a predatory industry. So I would love to see some pushback from the Coalition to actually say, at a bare minimum, we've got to fix some of the loopholes in what's been proposed. And you know, a big one for me is the PM announced that there'll be no gambling ads on sport before 8:30 p.m. We all know that a whole heap of games kick off at 7:55, 8 p.m. And so the second half of these games, there are no rules. And so for the Coalition, I'd say at least go with what your former leader, Peter Dutton, said, where at least an hour before and an hour after, we're not going to have any gambling advertising if they're not willing to actually go with the full ad ban.
You mentioned the fact that we know that money from gambling is deeply tied to broadcast deals, which is tied to the game and the promotion and the growth of some of our major sporting codes. Both Andrew Abdo and Gillon McLachlan are both on the record as saying that it contributes heavily to funding grassroots and the women's game for both of those codes.
The fans like the fact that child prices are $5, adults are $27. We like that we're investing $55 million in game development every year.
How realistic is it to implement further reform without massively compromising some of those things?
I mean, I think you got to start. You know, I'm a former professional athlete, so I get what this means for sports. But I think we've all got to step back and say, well, what is sport actually for? And I think at its core, sport is about so much that is good in our society, a place where communities can come together, get to know people that you otherwise wouldn't hang out with, challenge yourself physically, mentally, and you know, be part of something bigger than yourself. We cannot lose sight of that. As to the raw dollars and cents, again, something like a levy could actually ensure that there is more money for things like grassroots sport, for women's sport. So I think it's a real cop out. So yeah, I'm a little bit cynical about some of the lines that we get, but I do get the financial side of things. And the thing I say to my parliamentary colleagues is, well, let's solve that.
We've seen the real life cases come forward in that Murphy report and since, and these are people who have felt the real adverse effects of problem gambling. Have you heard from any of those people in response to these reforms?
I have. So many people. It is devastating to hear people talk about either their experience or in the most tragic cases, talking about a loved one that has taken their life due to gambling addiction. And the thing that often comes up in that is that people who know they have a problem and are trying to deal with it, they say, you cannot escape it. Everywhere you turn, there are ads. When you're on a losing streak, you're getting inducements. It is not working. And so I find it not just disappointing, but actually really infuriating that we have political leaders, well, in some instances won't even meet with those people, but must know that that harm is happening, and still puts vested interests ahead of protecting Australians, doing the right thing. And no one is saying that we should make gambling illegal. That's a ridiculous argument that gets rolled out by the Prime Minister and others. All we're saying is, let's actually protect young Australians. Let's not put people in a situation where it is so hard to find help. And in the last year or so, Poppy, I've noticed such a big increase in the number of young men who've pulled me aside at events saying, hey, could we just talk privately? And then they say, thanks so much for what you're doing on gambling. I'm struggling with it. And it is so hard because you're just getting smashed with ads, and all the ads portray it as something that is so much fun. You know, you're hanging out with your mates, you're having wins, you're betting on the footy. The reality is that I'm staring at my screen in bed by myself at 3 a.m. chasing losses.
People really wanted that saturation and targeting of gambling advertising reduced, and they wanted the exposure of children to gambling advertising reduced.
Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and Minister for Communications Annika Wells are both adamant that these reforms have struck the right balance between allowing Australians the freedom to have a bet, as you say, it's not about making gambling illegal, but protecting children from the harm that it can cause, particularly with some of the advertising. Do you think that there's a possibility that these reforms are, at the very least, a step in the right direction to potentially stronger reforms like the ones that you're proposing?
Well, they're clearly better than nothing. I don't think we should settle for better than nothing as Australians. They can clearly be strengthened. But, in terms of striking the right balance, again, this is something that the Parliament grappled with through the Murphy inquiry, and they said, a phased-in ban over 3 years would allow sports to make some adjustments. I think something like a levy could plug that gap. My concern with this is everything I've seen from the Albanese Labor government is that if they make a small tweak to an issue, they then just say, okay, we've done that. And every time you ask a question about, hey, you made that reform, it's not really working or didn't go far enough, they'll just say, listen, we did it, it's working great, let's move on. And so I really do think this is an opportunity for the Parliament to at least make these reforms a lot better. And I think that's the test for MPs and senators, who are you here to represent? And I really hope that the coalition work with the crossbench in the Senate to ensure that we at least have reforms that don't have ridiculous things like no ads in the first half, but second half there'll be a deluge of gambling ads. Like that just doesn't cut it.
David Pocock, it's an ongoing conversation and we're looking forward to seeing how it plays out. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks a lot, Poppy.
Headlines. New South Wales and Queensland have today announced their women's state of origin squads ahead of Game 1 next week. New South Wales will bring back 14 players from the team that won the series 2-1 last year, plus welcome back Millie Elliott, who will make her return after giving birth in September. The Maroons are facing the enormous challenge of replacing Ali Brigginshaw and Taryn Aiken, who are both unavailable for selection and have named 5 potential debutants. Soccer and former Premier League champions Leicester City have been relegated to the third tier of English football next season, just 10 years after winning the title.
A decade ago, they were champions of England. They lifted the Premier League trophy here, but tonight they are relegated to League One. The fifth club in the Premier League era to suffer back-to-back relegations.
This will be the second time in their 142-year existence that they have played in the third-tier comp. Netball Australia CEO Stacey West has announced her resignation after less than 3 years in the role. West was appointed back in December 2023 and guided the organisation through a time where the sport was struggling financially and was in a dispute with players about pay. Mark Falvo will serve as interim CEO. And Rugby Australia have announced that they're back in the black after a successful British and Irish Lions tour, turning $36.8 million in losses last year into a tick over $70 million in profit this year. I'm Poppy Penny and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Declan Byrne. Thanks to Sky, Channel 9 and BN Sports for the extra audio used in this episode.